Mark chapter number 10. Won't you find your place there if you'd stand with us in honor of the reading of God's Word. And we'll read a few verses. Young people, stand out of respect for the Word of God. Stand. And if you're able to stand, adults, if you're not able to stand, adults, you can keep your seat. But Mark chapter number 10. And look at verse number 46. We'll begin at verse number 46 there at the end of the chapter. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And I want to preach this morning on just one word title, and that is the word mercy. The word mercy. Let's pray. God, would you bless our time together this morning? I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you'll work in hearts. Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know for sure that heaven is their future home, I pray that they'll realize how much you love them today and how much you want to show them mercy and save their soul. I pray for Christians in here today who are maybe living in sin, maybe gone back to some sin in their life, some backslidden way. And I pray today that they'll call out to you for mercy and forgiveness and get back where they need to be. And then, Lord, I pray also this morning for those in here who claim to be born again, but are maybe holding grudges against people. I pray, God, that you convict their heart about a need for mercy in their life and mercy shown towards someone who offended them. So, God, I'll preach the word. You called me to be a preacher, and I'll be used as a voice. But, God, there is work today that only you can do. And so, Lord, I'm trusting you and asking you to meet with us today in a special way over these next few minutes. And we'll thank you for what you'll do in advance. And we'll ask it all now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The word mercy, by definition, is that benevolence, mildness, or tenderness of heart, which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. Mercy speaks of these words. These words are synonymous with the word mercy, the word forgiving, forbearing, kindness, pity, compassion, charity, clemency, or pardon. And you know and I know that our world today is filled with people who hold grudges, who seek revenge, and who spend years waiting to get back at someone who hurt them in some form or fashion. Unfortunately, even in a local church today, too often jealousy and hurt feelings abound, and too often personal grudges are held, and what a sad state that is if you're in that condition as a Christian. Well, you don't understand what they said to my kid, or you don't understand how they treated us, or we didn't get that invitation. How sad and how silly and how simple and honestly pathetic we are as Christians to hold the grudges that we hold. Look at Luke chapter number 6. We'll come back to Mark 10, but look at Luke chapter number 6 with me. Because holding grudges and you know, being angry at people and not talking to people and that sort of nonsense. And some of you like to play these silly childish games of friend and unfriend and block and unblock on. The only people I block online are those who cause me trouble, just bad trouble. And they're a cancer and I don't want anything to do with them. And I'll block them. I'll block them for myself or the church or whatever. But man, we as adults are acting like a bunch of 13-year-olds these days in some of the ways that we act. And yet that's not the way that the Word of God teaches us to live. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 27. We ain't going to like this. Verse 27, Jesus says, "But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. Now, the message is not really to get us hung up on this idea of whether or not we're giving mercy to others. The main message is talking about the mercy of God. But friend, listen, it's not just your mama saying, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's our Savior saying, treat others the way that you want them to treat you. Well, I'll tell you what, they did this to me, so I'll do that to them. And if they're going to act that way to us, I'll act that way to them. Hey, that's devilish is what that is. That's contrary to the Word of God. So Jesus goes on to say, for if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be called the children of the highest. For he, Jesus, is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore, listen to this, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. And so that would be enough for all of us to just go to the altar right now and get right about things in our life. But it goes on to say in Colossians 3 and verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. It's been said that the most miserable prison in the world is the prison we make for ourselves when we refuse to show mercy to someone else. Now, friend, listen, I'm glad that God is not consumed with revenge. He's not out to get you, and he's not out to forget to get me. The simple fact of the matter is that God is consumed with love, and that's why the Bible says that God is love. And while he is a merciful God, he is also a just God, and God will deal as he sees fit with those that hurt his children. That's not for you and I to have to deal with. The Bible tells us this in Romans 12 and verse number 14. It says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. It goes on to say in Romans 12, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And don't forget this, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, friend, listen, we need to learn to show mercy. I'm afraid too often we look for reasons to be offended. We come in and we got something in our craw because something happened to our child, or someone said something to us, or so we think someone knows something about us, or someone put something online. And so we'll come into church, or we'll go to a family gathering, or we'll go to work tomorrow, and we're just looking for a reason to be offended. Now, friend, can I remind you that the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Why is that? Because maybe his law just told me I'm to forgive, I'm to forget, I'm to love, I'm to do good to those. So someone offends you, do something good for them. Rather than sitting there and, man, we're upset and we're not talking. I notice that in our church. It's so sad to watch people that have broken fellowship with God's church, even though you're still in this church. and you don't want to talk to anybody, and we'll go hang out by ourselves over in the corner, and then we'll go outside and we'll hang out by ourselves over in the corner. Isn't it a better feeling when we're getting along? Isn't it a better feeling when it's like, you know what? Maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe that's just the way they are. Friend, listen to me. If I could share with you what people have said or done to my children in the last 22 years, you'd start feeling sorry for me, but I don't want you to feel sorry for me. Because I'm a big boy. My mom used to tell me, put your big boy britches on. And now my wife has to tell me that sometimes. And I don't like being at odds with people. And I'm not going to say, you know, Trent, we were at work this week and he walked past my office and my door was open. He never said hi, preacher. And he made coffee and he didn't invite me to have any of his coffee. And he this. Now, y'all know Trent. He'd be coming to me tomorrow. Preacher, if I did that, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Hey, but that's better than coming to church week in and week out, trying to be fed from the Word of God. And we're just. Funny, some of you do that. And I see you during the week and you ain't doing that. Aren't you thankful today that we serve a merciful God? I thought about that passage. I love that passage where Paul was telling Timothy, he said, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. We needed God's mercy the day we were saved. And as Christians, we still need His mercy today. We need His love. We need His forgiveness when we sin as children of God. Thought about the book of Lamentations, chapter 3 tells us this. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It is of God's mercies that we're not destroyed. For the way we act sometimes as children of God, the Bible says, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. We have missionaries here with us today that have given their life to serving the Lord. Missionary David Brainerd was a missionary to the Native Americans. He was a missionary to the Indians. And David Brainerd said this. He said, I fear God never showed mercy to one so vile as I. Think about that humble spirit. Let me tell you something about David Brainerd. David Brainerd died when he was like 29 years old. And we often hear quotes from missionaries and we think, oh, this 80-something-year-old, you know, what a wise statement. Here is a young man with a humble heart who says, I fear God never showed mercy to one so vile as I. And yet we have a lot of folks in their 20s that will get upset at each other. Oh, they got to go with them and I didn't get invited. And they got this and their kid got this. And we have all this jealousy rather than loving the Word of God, which tells us to let each esteem other better than themselves. Here's a young man right here with some maturity, some spiritual maturity, who says, hey, I know what I am. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I don't know there's a person alive on this earth that's ever had to have so much mercy extended to him. I fear that God never showed mercy to one so vile as I. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, God's mercy is so great that you may sooner drain the sea of its water, or deprive the sun of its light, or make space too narrow, then diminish the great mercy of God. Thank God for His mercy. Boy, if it wasn't for God's mercy, we would be consumed. If it wasn't for God's mercy, none of us in here today could say, hey, I know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. If it wasn't for God's mercy since the day that we got saved, friend, I'm afraid none of us would be here. In the Old Testament, and Hebrews tells us this, that in the Old Testament, boy, they died without mercy. I mean, they were stoned to death and under the law, but thank God that He is rich in mercy. I want you to see that in Mark chapter number 10. Turn back to our text there. You may already be there. But in Mark chapter number 10, we see a wonderful example of God's great mercy. Here in our text, a man that is poor and blind and living on the streets, he cries out to Jesus. And Jesus meets his physical need, gives him his sight back, as well as his spiritual need. I believe He saves his soul. In verse 46 again, they came to Jericho. And as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. In verse 51, Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. There are some great truths that we can learn about God's mercy from this passage today. You know, the United States president has the privilege of handing out presidential pardons. And many times, right before they leave office, they'll sign a lot of presidential pardons. And many times it's a friend or it's a friend or a family of someone that donated their campaign. Or as maybe the case back in the 90s, it's pardon everyone who could cover up everything that you did while you were president. But you know, the one thing that a president does not have power over, they can pardon a federal conviction. They cannot pardon a state conviction. That is only the privilege of the governor of that state. So even the president of the United States who can pardon someone, they have their limitations. Mercy is pardon. And our God, I want you to know this morning, is not limited to who he can pardon. He's not limited to what he can pardon. And because we serve a merciful God, the Bible says in Isaiah 55 and verse 1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. We have an everyone salvation. We have a whosoever will salvation. He that hath no money. See, you can't buy your salvation. You might be powerful enough, have enough money to buy a pardon from the president, but you can never buy a pardon from God himself. But the pardon has already been paid at the cross of Calvary. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 55 and verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. It goes on to say, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Listen to this. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Aren't you glad that the day you got saved, you didn't call upon the name of the Lord, and he just said, Lord, I need to be saved. I know I'm a sinner in need of salvation today. And God, I'm condemned. I'm on my way to hell. But God, I need your mercy. Aren't you glad I got saved in the summer of 1997? And there have been many, many days, many, many hours where I've messed up, where I've sinned, where I've made bad choices, and I've needed the mercy of God. And aren't you glad that when you've offended God, aren't you glad when you crossed God, aren't you glad when you got at odds with God, that your heart got right and you got it right with God? And when you said, Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry. As a child of God, I shouldn't have done that. Forgive me of that sin. Aren't you glad God didn't go, I've forgiven them a million times, but I tell you what, this is it. No more. And yet, if I could just say it one more time, how many Christians in here today, you're sitting with something. Maybe it's towards someone in here. Maybe it's towards your spouse. Maybe it's towards your grown kids. Maybe it's towards someone out there. But how in the world can we do this when God opens his arms like this and says, I forgive you? I want you to see this mercy in Mark chapter number 10. I like it. I like how it lays it out for us here in this passage. Just mercy that comes from God. Number one is this. It's repetitive of what I basically just said. But this needed mercy can only come through Jesus. Look at chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He realized that day, blind Bartimaeus knew that the mercy he needed could only come from his Savior, Jesus Christ. We see another fellow standing in the temple and preparing to pray. And in Luke 18, the Bible says two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee, that religious guy who thought he had it all together, he stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners and unjust and adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. If you're lost here without Christ today, the mercy that you need cannot come from a preacher. It can't come from a pope. It can't come from a bishop. The mercy that you need can only come from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews 2 and verse number 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. That was God making Jesus perfect or adequate for the job through the sufferings he would go through on the cross of Calvary. It goes on to say, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Christ, also himself likewise took part of the same. He became man. He became a man. He put on flesh that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took him the seed of Abraham. He became sin for us on the cross of Calvary. He was made a man and was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. The Bible says, wherefore in all things it behooved him, it was necessary for him to be made like unto his brethren, that he, Christ, might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. If you're here today without Christ, the Bible teaches that you're on your way to hell, the lake of fire. We all were at some point. And the only way to take condemned and stamp pardoned is to accept the free grace, the free salvation, the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're saved, but you know you're not right with God, you need God's mercy. You need His grace. You need His kindness. You need His forgiveness once again in your life. This needed mercy can only come through Jesus. Let me say secondly there in our text that this needed mercy can only come by faith. The Bible says in verse 46, and they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus. This fellow was blind. Look what happened in verse 47. When he heard. You know, the Bible tells us faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is believing what you cannot see. So you can't work your way into God's goodness and God's grace and God's mercy. You can't go to church long enough to, well, God's going to let me into heaven one day. No, we need the free grace that only God can give. And this grace comes by faith. And here's a blind man. And he says, who is that? What are all these people? And they say, it's Jesus. He says, I know who he is and I know what he can do for me. And when he heard that it was Jesus, he put his faith in the work that only God could do. Well, Luke chapter 18, I'll read you something here, but it records the same story. But it tells us in Luke 18 and verse 40, and Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Now, here's the reason I believe he got more than just his sight, because the Bible says this, Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. This need of mercy can only come through Jesus. This needed mercy can only come by faith. And let me say thirdly, this needed mercy can only come by calling on the name of the Lord. The Bible says in verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. And they heard him, the many people heard him crying out and said, amen, be quiet, hold your peace. But the Bible says he cried the more a great deal. And aren't you glad the Bible tells us today, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't know what your history is. I don't know what your past is. I don't know what kind of maybe a rap sheet that you have. I've been fortunate so far in my life to never have been in jail. I've been to the jail and talked to people through the plexiglass there. But friend, listen to me. God will abundantly pardon. You say, you don't understand my sins of the past. You don't understand I was a drunkard. You don't understand I used to rob banks. You don't understand I used to do this and I used to do that. And friend, listen, we have a God in heaven who will forgive you. And I know that man doesn't forgive, but God forgives. And I know oftentimes man is not merciful. You can never come back to our house. We'll never do this and they'll never go there. But friend, we serve a merciful God, but the mercy only comes through Jesus Christ. The mercy comes by believing that He'll give you that mercy. It comes by faith. And this needed mercy can only come by calling on the name of the Lord, saying, God, I need to be saved. Let me give you a couple more. This needed mercy, number four, produces instant change. In verse 51, Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the word there, immediately he received his sight. The moment you receive God's free gift of salvation, the moment you receive His mercy, your life is changed forever. The moment you believe, you get to be a part of a new family. You get to be a child of God. The moment you believe, hey, God gives you a new home. He said, I go to prepare a place for you and you have a home in heaven. The moment you trust Christ as your Savior, you have a new abiding Holy Spirit in your life. The moment you trust Christ as your Savior, oh, you have a new outlook. Now everything changes. God's mercy can only come through Jesus. God's mercy can only come by faith. God's mercy can only come by calling upon the name of the Lord. God's mercy produces instant change. The fifth one is this. I see in our text that God's mercy received will produce a true follower of Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 52. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go thy way. Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. A lot of folks today say, well, you know, I got saved back in 1970 something. And you say, all right, what are you doing for the Lord? Well, I've never really done nothing. Well, I get it. I get getting backslidden. That can happen to any of us. It has happened to many of us. I get it. Aren't you glad it's an eternal salvation? Aren't you glad that the Bible teaches that you cannot lose your salvation? You're kept by the power of God. But make sure it's true salvation. Well, you know, Grandma signed my Bible years ago and she said, I said a prayer. Yes, but do you remember that? Is that something? You don't have to remember all the facts, but do you remember realizing you were lost and needing to be saved? You were a sinner in need of salvation on your way to hell, and you realize how much God loved you and would forgive you, would extend mercy to you. Do you remember somebody showing you how to be saved and you calling upon the Lord and saying, Lord, I need to be born again. I need to be saved. God, forgive me for my sins. That would be the moment that you believed. If I say, are you saved? You say, oh, yeah, many times. Then you don't understand true salvation. Say, hey, if God ever saved you, oh, yeah, I was in a wreck. Oh, yeah, I had a surgery. They didn't expect me to live. Hey, I'm glad God brought you up out of that. I'm glad, but you don't understand true salvation. True salvation was in June of 1997 when I grew up in church. I'm 47, about to be 48 in about a month or so. I like Home Depot and Bass Pro Shop cards, but I'd be 48, and I know the wrinkles betrayeth me. You're thinking I'm going on 60, but if you count the wrinkles, you'll be able to tell how old my kids are. But I remember standing there going, and knowing I needed to be saved. I don't remember what Dad preached that day. I just knew I needed to be saved. I don't remember all the verses that he showed me. I just know he opened the Bible. I needed to be saved. The Spirit of God was making it very evident. I called upon the name of the Lord. I don't remember what I said. It probably sounded stupid. I don't even know what I said. But I know what I did. I got born again. Why? Because God showed mercy to me. God's mercy can only come through Jesus. His mercy can only come by faith. His mercy can only come by calling on the name of the Lord. His mercy produces instant change. God's mercy received will produce a true follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, all right, you're healed. Go your way. See, I like the fact that God gives us free will. He doesn't make us robots. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And the Bible says he went and he followed Jesus in the way. But I want to give you one last one here. It's kind of a warning. This mercy is not available forever. This mercy is not available forever. There in verse number 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. And in verse 48, many charged him that he should hold his peace. Had he held his peace, had he just decided, okay, I'm just going to be quiet, Jesus would have just walked on by. My challenge to you this morning is, if you know that you're lost today, be saved. Don't let anyone or anything keep you from calling upon the Lord today for salvation. Because waiting for too long will one day mean that you waited until it's too late. We see this pictured for us very, very obviously in Luke chapter 16, where a man is interviewed in hell. And he makes this statement. The Bible says in Luke 16, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Listen to this. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Well, he was looking for mercy after he died and he realized that hell was real. But his time for mercy ran out. I don't know if we're all going to make it back here tonight. I don't know if we're going to make it back next Sunday. I'm not trying to scare you. Death shouldn't scare us in the fact that we know it's going to happen one day. Josh called me the other day and said, Dad, there was a wreck outside the church. I think somebody maybe drove through our drive-thru or something and pulled right out in front of a diesel or something. And he's boy, they hit hard. Now, that scares me all the time when I watch people driving in and out of here. Some of the older folks, some of the kids, most of the females. It just makes me nervous because I think, well, one day I saw Caden Taylor at Soul Winning yesterday pull up and sitting there and had to wait for three or four cars. And that always worries me that, man, somebody's not going to be paying attention. You know, there's people that don't pay attention. They rear end other people. Yeah. And I think, man, that's going to happen one day. I don't know. I don't know how you're checking out of here. I don't know how I'm going to check out of here. But I know this. We're checking out of here one day. And we're not all promised 90 and 100 years. I want you to notice one more thing here in Mark chapter 10. The Bible says in verse 46, as he came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. All right, he called upon the name of the Lord. And look at what the Bible says in verse 49. And Jesus stood still. You ever called your kid? Most of the time they don't listen to us, but you ever called your kid? Joshua James Audrey, stop right now. He called upon the name of the Lord, and the Bible said that Jesus stood still. You know what that made me think of? Made me think of Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him. And he with me. Maybe God is knocking at your heart's door today. My question is this. Three questions. Do you need salvation? Are you 100% sure, young people, adults, 100% sure that heaven is your future home? If you don't know that for sure, why don't you accept the free gift of salvation today? Christian, do you need to get right about something in your life? Thank God that His mercies are new every morning. My last question is there someone the Holy Spirit has placed on your heart that you need to show mercy to today? I was putting this message together, and to be honest with you, I really struggled with this message this week. I'm looking forward to tonight preaching out of Daniel. That I knew what God wanted, and I began to put this, and man, it was just piece by piece, and you just would have to understand putting together sermons all the time. But I struggled, man. I really, really struggled. Honestly, a lot of times when that happens, it's because the devil's really fighting something that's going to be said. And it might just be that he tried to get me to change sermons so that maybe you wouldn't hear that today, because maybe today's the day of your salvation. Or maybe as Christian, you want to get right with God today. Maybe you get tired of acting like an 8-year-old child with your arms folded. And you say, you know what, this is stupid to live like this. Let's go talk to the person. Let's go talk to the people. Let's talk some things out. I mean, I've only preached here for 22 years, but I still think that's what the Bible says. If somebody offends you, go to them. So I'm trying to put this together, and I really, it's like, man, what do we, God, this, I got the points here, but it's just not. So I start looking for stories. And honestly, I looked online, stories of mercy. I thought, okay, maybe if I could tell a good Paul Schwenke end of sermon back in 1732, you know. Everything I read, I thought, that's not. Somebody showed mercy. Someone, a drunk driver hit, and they showed mercy. And then over here, this happened, and that person showed mercy. But it just wasn't really speaking to me. And I thought, you know, I know the reason why it's not speaking to me. It's because there is no greater illustration than the God of heaven who creates us and we turn our back on Him and He says, I still love Him. I still don't want Him to go to hell. The devil was prepared, the Bible says, for the devil. The hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, the fallen angels, not for people. But that's exactly where we go if we die without Christ. He said, God would never do that. No, He will not. He stood in the way on the cross of Calvary and became sin for us. There's no greater illustration of God's mercy than to say, I love you. I'm willing to save you. No greater example for you and I as Christians to say, boy, look at what all God has forgiven me for in my life. Why in the world am I holding on to this one little thing towards someone else? If you need the mercy of God today, hey, why don't you come? He'll freely give it.